So we are continuing in our sermon series this morning, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Hear from God for Ourselves. And this series was born of a recognition that following Jesus can feel like a bit of a moving target, especially in the challenging times that we find ourselves in. And so learning to hear from God, learning to be directed by God into how we are called to live, hearing the grace and the truth and the mercy that we receive in Jesus, hearing that for ourselves is so critical as we continue to walk out what's the life that we have and what's going on around us. So that's what we're talking about over the next few weeks of Epiphany as we look at how God proclaims to the world this love and grace and mercy and truth through the life of Jesus, and we talk about how we can hear that for ourselves. So we're all familiar with this phrase, everything happens for a reason, right? We've heard this phrase before. I'm not always in agreement with how it's applied, because the assumption that is made is that everything that happens in our lives and even everything we do and the result of that is ordained by God, good, bad, or otherwise. And that's not really how it works. Like, yeah, everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is you made a bad decision. Like, God didn't do that, right? So, yeah, everything happens for a reason, but we don't always need to attribute that to God. Sometimes it's us. But we can look at Scripture, and we can look at how Jesus does things, and we can make the assumption that everything Jesus does for a reason. He's very intentional. And there's this story in the Gospels where Jesus announces his purpose, his mission, if you will, for the first time. And it's in Luke chapter 4, and it's immediately following his temptation in the desert. And so what had happened was Jesus had been baptized. He had heard the word of God affirming him as God's beloved son and who God was well pleased. He's carrying this identity, and then he's sent out into the desert to have that identity tested and confirmed so that he can emerge into the ministry God has called him to with confidence. And that confidence is forged in the crucible of the desert as he is visited by Satan. And so after all that happens, Jesus goes home. And he goes to his home synagogue, and it's just like another Sabbath service, except that this time he gets up to read from a scroll as though he was a visiting rabbi. And the scroll that he reads from was written by the prophet Isaiah, and the particular passage that he reads was well known as a prediction, as a prophecy of who the Messiah would be. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so he reads this, and he sits down, and everyone's looking at him like, what's going on here? Like, why did he read this? And he tells the people that this prediction, this prophecy, was fulfilled by his presence among them. Now, what I want you to pay attention to is not just what Jesus said, but where Jesus says it. See, Jesus chose this particular place to announce his messiahship, to announce his mission statement. And Jesus would preach in a variety of locations. He would preach in the temple courts or up on a mountain. He'd preach to small groups and to large gatherings. But for this critical message that he proclaimed for the first time, who he was and what he did, he chose a congregation. He chose a synagogue. He chose a gathered community. And this choice tells me something about the value that Jesus placed on a gathered community of believers coming together to grow in faith. Everyone who gathered that day heard from God for themselves because God was present in their gathering. And while they lived separate lives, they were individuals. When it came to hearing from God for themselves, They were better together. Scripture tells us that humanity was created in the image of God. And it's not that we bear God's physical attributes, God's physical appearance, but it means we reflect the values and the character of God. The way God operates is the way we are to operate. And one of the ways that God operates is in community. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, "Then God said, 'Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth.' Let us make humanity in our image." Now, I had read Genesis 1 a ton of times. But when I first noticed that, it blew my mind. Let us make humanity in our image. God refers to God's self in the plural. And so to bear God's image means existing in the plural, existing in community, that we are better together. And yet we live in this individualistic world of suburban isolation where you could leave your house for work in the morning or to go about your day, whatever you're doing, and you come home at the end of the day and you pull in your garage and not see one of your neighbors. And this could go on for days, for weeks, for months, for years. You could live 15 feet from someone and not even know their name. Not even know their kids' names, not even know what they do for a living, not know anything about their life at all. That is the world that we have constructed for ourselves. And we live this individualistically, and we kind of like it. We prioritize our wants and our desires and our preferences with little regard for how that prioritization impacts others. And when we silo ourselves unto ourselves, we rob others of the benefit that we could provide if we invested in community. And we miss out on the benefits that others could provide us if they did the same. And you might be saying, "Well, but Pastor Eric, I'm an introvert." And I would say to you that introversion is not a personality style. Introversion is definitely a way in which you gain energy. You gain energy by being by yourself, and you expend energy by being with others. But you absolutely have the capacity to be with others. It's not a personality style. It's a choice. We are called to community, and we are better together. And the way that I know that is that there are so few interactions in Scripture where Jesus has one-on-one conversations. And when he does, they're usually kind of uncomfortable for the other person. When Jesus teaches, when Jesus preaches, when Jesus engages, it's so often in the context of community. And I think then why we struggle to hear from God for ourselves is that we think that it's a one-on-one conversation only. And we've set up these barriers to the community that we need in order to truly hear from God for ourselves. And that keeps us from being better together. Now, for the sake of a little bit of COVID sensitivity, where I'm not going to make you talk to each other, which seems a little counterintuitive to the sermon today, right? But I do want you to think about this question. And maybe turn, if you came with somebody, maybe turn to them and talk with them about this. But I really want you to take 30 seconds to think about, what are the barriers in our lives and in our world that keep us from community? So just take 30 seconds and think about that. Now, I'm going to throw a potential barrier out to you, and I'd like you to raise your hand if this was the first one that came to mind, or one of the ones that came to mind for you. How many of you thought about the barrier of time? A few of you, right? Time, right? And I think that's a barrier that a lot of people cite for why they don't engage in community. And yes, we do live in a busy world. But I don't think time is the primary culprit. Because I really believe that people ultimately do what they want to do. They find a way to do it. I think many of us are just overwhelmed with life. I think we're pulled in a million different directions between our job and our family and our health and our finances, and it just feels like a lot to engage relationally outside of those very specific things that we have to do. We feel a lack of the emotional energy that's needed to be in community, and so we just turn inward on ourselves and just focus on our own households, and it feels easier to do that. And it's understandable, especially with everything going on right now. I mean, I don't even like going outside in January, okay? So community, like, no thanks. But it's when we are most overwhelmed with life that we are in most need of community. Many of you know that Laura and I just bought a house. And we move in actually next Saturday, okay? So like clock's ticking, right? Well, when we put the offer in on the house, we didn't know the full extent of the work that was going to need to be done in order to make it livable. And I think that happens a lot when you buy a house, but what we have is really turned into a flip this house situation. Right? Like we're basically gutting the whole thing. And it's kind of fun because we get to pick all the things, but it's also not because we have to pick all the things, like all the things. And it's overwhelming. And we've been so grateful with the folks that have stepped up to help in a variety of ways, our family, our friends, some folks from our King of Kings family. If we would have had to have done this ourselves, I don't know, we wouldn't be moving in next Saturday, I can tell you that much. There'd been no way. And we've been blessed that when we've asked for help, people have responded with yes. And there is a part of us that doesn't want to be a burden, right? Like doesn't want to, because people are busy. You know, they got their own houses and their own projects to deal with. And so we've struggled a little bit with not wanting to be that burden. But we've seen the blessing of God through the service of other people in what would have otherwise been an overwhelming situation. And so we feel more free to make the ask because we know that it's better together. And life done together is just better, whether it's home projects or meals or having fun or even just going out and grocery shopping. I know people that get their friends together, they go grocery shopping together because it's just better together. And when life feels overwhelming, I've found that pressing into community helps to relieve the pressure of the demands to do more and to work harder and to get better. Because when you're in relationships with others that are Christ-centered and are caring, they're not asking more of you. They're not demanding you to do more or work harder or get better. And so it relieves that pressure. We were not created for life unto ourselves. As God exists in community, we reflect God's image when we exist in community. And we could hear from God for ourselves when we embrace the truth that we are better together. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses this really profound metaphor for illustrating this truth. He talks about the body. And he describes how each one of us are like a part of the body, that some of us are our eyes, or some of us are ears, some of us are hands, some of us are our feet, and that the body is not one part, but it's many, and without the other parts, the body doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Like an eye can't say to an ear, I don't need you. A hand can't say to a foot, I don't need you. We can't say to one another, I don't need you. And when one part of the body is hurting, it impacts the other parts of the body. Some of you know we rent out one of our rooms here to a licensed massage therapist. Her name is Sherry, and she's fantastic. Laura and I are clients of hers. And more than once, I'll be on the table, and she'll ask me, you know, where a trouble spot is. And I'll say, oh, you know, my neck kind of hurts. And she says, okay, well, we're going to start with your knee then, because that's the source. What? Why? What does my knee have to do with anything? Like, my neck hurts. That's where I want, you know, that's where I need the relief. That's where I need the help. And then she'll explain, well, you know, you got this inflammation in the knee that I didn't know that I had. And, you know, so now that's throwing off how you walk. And so it's throwing your hips out of alignment and creating tension in your lower back, which then pulls on your shoulder, which then connects over to your neck. It's like that old song, the hip bone's connected to the knee bone, right? Remember that? I didn't know any of that. Everything is interconnected in ways that I just didn't understand or realize. And the same is true about the church. The same is true about community. When someone is hurting or pulling away or not investing, it hurts everybody. And yeah, we can compensate for that, but it just makes things a little bit harder. We talked last week about how each of us has a gift that's given by God, and Paul closes this reading by talking about a variety of gifts that are used for the common good. And the execution of those gifts is best pursued in the context of community because we are better together. Here's the point. We were created to reflect the image of God. And God exists in community, Trinity, three in one. And so we were created for community. And in community, Jesus is present with us just as he was present in that synagogue in Galilee. And just like those first hearers of his reason for coming, we can hear from God for ourselves because God is present with us in our gathering and we are better together. If you are not hearing from God for yourself, it's probably because you're trying to do it by yourself. And it just doesn't work. And so what does this look like practically? The early church did this really, really well. Now, the early church had problems. They weren't perfect. Two-thirds of the New Testament were written because of how screwed up they were. But they did some things really well, and they did community really, really well. And Acts chapter 2 gives us a window into what this looks like. It says in verse 42, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. And then Acts goes on to talk specifically about what that looks like. But generally speaking, the early church was devoted to four things. Learning together, being generous together, eating together, and praying together. And in the midst of the learning and the generosity and the eating and the praying, God showed up by the power of the Spirit. They heard from God for themselves in their gathering because God was present as they gathered, and they were better together. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like too high of a bar, does it? Like, I can learn with other disciples of Jesus. I can find time for that. I can find time to be generous with other disciples of Jesus. I can find time to eat with other disciples of Jesus and pray with other disciples of Jesus. I can do this. We can do this, especially if I have faith that as we gather, God will show up and we will hear from God for ourselves. We can do this if we really believe that we are better together. And that's the question, isn't it? Do we really believe that we are better together? There's a lot of ways that that happens here at King of Kings. The primary way is through group life and as we continue to develop our groups. I want to see groups that are gathering not just to learn, but to eat together and to pray together and to be generous together. But it only happens if we believe that we're better together. And you might think, you know, nope, I'm better by myself. And so you won't engage in community. You'll be wrong. But you can believe that. And so that's the question to consider. Do I believe that we are better together? I challenge you to think about that today. And if the answer is yes, then you're ready to take that next step, to learn to hear from God for yourself in the context of community. And when you affirm that with a yes and you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to find time. I don't know how I'm going to find the energy. I'm an introvert. That's where faith comes in, to show us not just that we are better together, but how that can be possible in the specific scenarios of our life. And so if you're open, trust the Spirit will show you, and that the Spirit will draw you into community. And you've got to take that step as well. It's not just going to fall in your lap. You know, sometimes you have to invite yourself, which basically just looks like, hey, Pastor Eric, I want to be in a group. Can you help me get connected? The answer is always yes. Taking that step of faith, allowing the Spirit to guide you so that as you gather, you hear from God for yourselves, because God is present in your gathering.